Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, kiddies. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
Blah, 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 blah.
Let's check the time. Go to the traffic. Entertainment news. Horoscope. Kill myself. I'll tell you, yeah. Drew, we talk about all the time. I know this is a matter that is near and dear to your own heart, but kids, those of you young folks listening,
enjoy your sleep.
When you watch those, yes, when you watch those movies in Driver's Ed where they say a guy left Baton Rouge, Louisiana at the same time and headed for Key West, Florida, two cars identically prepared. And one car obeyed the speed limit and all the corresponding rules that go along with traffic. The other one drove recklessly, sped, and ran through red lights. And they both arrived at Key West at the same time. Total, utter nonsense.
Ridiculous.
Listen, I'll shave an hour off a 15-minute commute just by hauling ass.
Yeah.
Look, do the math, everybody. Do the math. When they tell you that driving fast doesn't get you there any faster... let's forget about driving. Let's apply that to running.
Yeah.
Running fast doesn't get...
Crawling? Bob, crawling gets you there faster.
Bob jogged, averaging a 14-minute mile, whereas Curtis ran a 5-minute mile and sprinted his ass off. Who completed the 26-mile course faster? Curtis kicked Bob's sorry ass. That's the way it goes. Now, look, I don't want people getting in accidents, but let's face it. You haul ass, you get places a lot faster.
Adam, just flip the logic around. One person goes 60 miles an hour and behaves, and the other goes 20. Who gets there first?
I don't know, Drew. Did the one who went 60 break any traffic laws? Because if he did, he didn't get there any faster.
Yeah.
Or if he did, he got there faster, but with a heavy heart. Yeah, I feel bad every time I ignore one of those god-awful red arrows here in the hellhole known as Culver City. Yes. Listen, it's worth a ticket. Bring it on. I'm going to laugh when I get one. Still worth it. Cops, I've run 1,000 of those goddamn arrows a year, so the one ticket means nothing. It's nothing to me. Bring it on. Bring it to me. I'm still way ahead of the game. I would never even dream of ignoring or not ignoring one of those arrows. Thank you. Jessica, I hope you all heard an important message here. Haul ass, you get places a lot faster. I went completely across town in 13 minutes, and the only way I could have done that is by hauling ass.
Yeah.
Thank you. What's up there, Jessica? 21.
Yes. Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
The reason Adam's got a little sort of... win behind him here is sort of he's been he walked in 3 seconds before we went on the air.
Yeah.
And only you were here at that moment only because of you.
I hauled ass.
Oh, yes, yeah.
All right,
absolutely.
Great.
Thank you. What's up?
I had a question. My boyfriend and I, whenever we're having sex, doggy style, where he's like behind me,
mm-hmm.
I always feel like.
Hold on, behind you?
Like he's banging against something inside.
Yeah, he is. Your uterus.
Okay. And it's not painful, but it's not comfortable.
Right.
It could be the skull of your unborn baby.
Well, yeah. Or the leftover twin or something. Yeah.
Right, right. Evil twin? So. No?
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah. This is a common. Most women feel a little more discomfort with that position. If you have a retroverted uterus, it can really be uncomfortable, or ovarian cyst, or any infection in the tubes. These things, endometriosis, make the discomfort even more so. But some women just find that feeling unpleasant.
You say this is a friend of yours?
This is my boyfriend.
All right.
Is there any way to make it more comfortable?
Yeah, change positions.
Okay, just don't do that.
Yeah. Well, how about...
Don't go in as far.
Well, there's a depth
grommet.
The grommet. The love grommet. A basically a batting donut for the penis. I'm serious. I really... Try this. It doesn't have to be in a donut shape, but get a piece of 3/4-inch foam rubber...
Yeah.
Are you with
me? More than 3/4 inch, yes.
Let's start with 3/4. 3/4, that's 40%.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I remember
how
now.
How dare you?
I beg your pardon.
Start with 3/4. If you want to double it up to 1.5 inches, fine. I'm serious. I'd like you to do this and call back, Jessica.
Now, what is this? Can you just
all right, just listen.
You ever seen the
hold on. Just
that's
quiet,
what you've seen a batting donut.
Quiet down. Like, chick knows what a batting
donut
saying.
Is.
That's
what I'm saying. That's what you said, so.
I know. I'm now trying to explain all this. Right. That's all. Jessica?
Yeah.
Okay. Get yourself some 3/4-inch foam rubber.
Yeah.
All right. Not the real aerated light stuff, but the foam rubber stuff, right?
All right.
All right. Take a coffee mug, set it down on top of this piece of foam rubber, and trace a line around it with a magic marker.
All right.
Yeah, Drew?
Yeah.
You with me?
I'm there.
And then cut that thing out. Make it a good size coffee mug.
Okay.
All right. Then cut that circle out. Then make an inner circle about an inch and a quarter, inch and a half around. That should do it, right?
Again,
make a little inner
using
circle.
Your own proportions.
Making a donut. All right?
Yeah, all right. I got it.
All right. Then have your boyfriend slip that over his penis before he goes doggy style. That'll prevent a depth problem and get a little spring back. You know, as he bounces off the
wall. Help his back, yeah.
That's right. It's arches.
Spring back.
Yeah. And now, and if it's still too deep, double it up. Do two of them. Basically, what you're looking at is two pieces of canned pineapple. You know, when they come in the slab.
Right.
All right. Thanks for the visual.
Hey, will you do that?
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I'm serious. Make it up. Then he can go at it. It'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. I'll try it out.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Good times. She's never going to do
no
that.
No way.
That's a good idea.
Shame. I know it's a good idea. You need to start selling this.
Oh, right, listen, if I had an ounce of motivation, I'd be a wealthy, wealthy man right now. Raul?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yeah.
You a little depressed?
No.
Really?
He's lit up.
Are you stoned?
I don't know.
No, I mean, he's excited.
Oh,
this is him lit.
Top of the world. You win the lottery today?
No.
Okay.
What's up, Raul?
What's up?
My girlfriend's starting to do XX because, like, she thinks she's fat or something.
All right, well, that's called bulimia, when people take laxatives and have distorted body image.
Oh, yeah, so she's trying to take them, so, like, I don't know. She's weird.
Okay, well, that's a very serious problem, right?
Yeah.
People die of this condition.
Yeah, I told her that, but, like, she doesn't believe me.
Well, I mean,
I don't know what to tell her.
How about telling her parents that she has a problem, or telling a teacher at school, or somebody that can get or leverage her into some help? I mean, you really don't have any power to get her help, other than saying you're not willing to stay in the relationship if she continues down this path.
Raul?
Yeah.
How much does she weigh?
Like 124.
Nothing.
Yeah. So she's light.
Yeah. The people with these eating disorders have massive levels of denial about what they're doing. And so it's very difficult to break through that. Somebody that has leverage, somebody that has power over them, has to require them to do something about this. You need someone professional to watch her.
Does she have an older sister?
Yeah. She's like 23.
Yeah. Do you ever talk to her?
No.
No. You don't know her at all?
No, she just lives there.
Who do you know? Who do you know that she knows and respects?
That's an adult.
Yeah. No one.
Okay. Nobody. You got a counselor at school that you like?
Yeah.
Somebody you can talk to?
Yeah.
Why don't you go, even if it's not her counselor?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you go? Because you know these guys, they have like A through G, and then G through whatever. Did you have that in your school?
Yeah.
You got that, right, Raul?
Yeah.
Right, you're a poor guy, right?
Yeah.
You got the counselor gets assigned to you by your last name.
I see.
I got Mr. Tomey, that fairy. What a nightmare. Did nothing for me. Nothing. Kiss my ass, Tomey. All right, well, anyway, Raul, talk to that counselor that you like, and...
Yeah, that's right. You
see
need
what
some
you
help.
Can do with that.
This is not something you're going to be able to change. It's... takes a lot of work.
How'd you know who your counselor was?
I didn't have one.
You didn't have a school? Didn't you get a counselor?
You got to remember, the whole school is 160 kids.
Oh. Our counselor should have just, they should have had their title changed to a probation officer. There's not an ounce of counseling going on. There's no. I never had a conversation about college or SATs or career. Right? Never had a, you know, I don't know if there's some kind of lost time. I'm wondering if, you know, like...
In the 70s, you mean?
Well, yeah. It seems like in the 50s and maybe even into, the middle, later part of the 60s or early middle part of the 60s, you went to school and, like, someone pulled you in an office at a certain point and said, hey...
Get your act together.
Well, what do you see yourself doing down the road?
Sure.
I mean, is it college or...
Hey, but in the 70s, that was the man. And you listen to the man.
Adam. Yeah, they give you a test. They go, here, take this test. And you take the test, and they go, oh, you work with your hands. Maybe you could be an electrician or a plumber.
When we went to college in high school, no one trusted the man. No one wanted to listen to the man. No one, and that was, the man was like out.
Well, I was still into the early 80s, but the man was still never did make a comeback.
No.
Yeah, it's like, oh, who are we to tell these 15-year-olds what they should be doing with their life?
That is the attitude that was then. And they were still living under some of that.
Right, so it's like, all right, don't tell the teenagers what to do. Fast forward 4 years, me and Everlast, not from the popular band, not from House of Pain. Everlast, the dude
who's
in jail for life right now, and no driver's license, by the way, driving out to Edwards Air Force Base to clean about 7 million square feet of carpet. Yeah. not that I would have listened to their advice, by the way, but never had a conversation. I don't have a girlfriend, and no one at school likes me.
Jessica.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I'm 16 and I'm diabetic, and I was just kind of wondering, like, what I should know about drinking and stuff, and
how's your sugar control?
It's okay. It's not great, but I mean, I really know what I'm doing. Like,
how do you take your insulin?
By insulin pump.
Oh, you have a pump going all the time?
Yeah.
How often do you check your sugars?
Like 5 or 6 times a day.
Okay.
And how's that pump going?
I like it because it's more flexible and I can eat whenever I want and stuff.
What do you basically just have a built-in jack in yourself for that pump?
No, it's kind of like an IV, except it like is in your stomach.
It's just like
your stomach, but like the fat in your stomach.
It's a subcutaneous infusion.
Yeah,
it's a little jack.
It's a little
right?
pump, yeah, going in all the time.
Well, is it in you?
Yeah.
Oh, it's buried in you. Don't hook yourself up.
Well, no, you. Like I change it.
But the needle's in you, though, right?
Yeah.
There's a needle in you.
Right.
And then the unit's outside you.
All right, my jack reference.
Yeah, I know.
See, we always get confused because I make the mistake of asking pertinent questions on this show, and no one knows what I'm talking about. If I lifted your shirt up, I'd see a little jack, for lack of
like
a better term, to plug this thing into.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically.
Right.
Did she say Jack? She thinks a little guy named Jack.
A guy named Jack, or you think of a scissor or bottle jack? Do I change your car? I don't know. Kids know what jacks are, right? Then jack for the VCR.
Stop. Anyway, you've ever had DKA, that kind of thing? Any complications?
Only when I had the stomach flu.
Okay, and you're having neuropathy, kidney problems, anything like that?
No.
Well, the alcohol is a pretty hefty dose of sugar. Okay, and it is going to set your insulin needs off in ways that may are not entirely predictable. And
that's kind of like what I'm worried about. Like, I heard it can make you low or high.
Yeah, it's very difficult to judge what it's going to do. And if you're intoxicated on top of that, you could you could easily pass out and fall into either an insulin shock or you could fall into DKA and no one would know it. And so it's a treacherous proposition for you. It really is.
Okay.
It's obviously more than the average person's risks.
Right, I understand that.
Yeah. And she's got a fairly advanced diabetic.
She's a brittle diabetic. Well, not even brittle. She's a juvenile diabetic.
Brittle. It's just,
you're not brittle because
this is the control that I want.
What's your range, your sugar range normally?
I mean, it ranges from like anything, but my average is like 170.
170. So that's pretty high. Although, again, you're growing.
I mean, but that's me. That's because I eat too much.
Yeah, I understand. But now you add alcohol to that, and now you may flip into ketosis.
Hey, Drewski.
Yeah.
Diabetics. You hear about people they have it like in a mild. Is there like a mild, medium, and extra strength version?
There's several different versions. Some people are really difficult to control. They have insulin resistance and insulin deficiency.
I know she did it out of convenience, but if you're hooking yourself up to the pump every day,
that's an average.
You got something going.
That's
don't
an
you?
Average juvenile.
Average. There's a little more than we normally talk to. Busting out the pump.
No, it's these days for a juvenile. I mean, the really messy ones are the
got
ones
the,
that
the zert fitting hanging out of your belly button.
No, the messy ones are the ones that age that are going to denial and don't want to have diabetes and stop their insulin and going to DKA every 3 weeks.
I see. You think anyone knows what a zert fitting is?
No, I don't know what that is.
Okay,
what is it? What is it?
You know what I like about Drew? He's interested in stuff because and you guys should all take a page out of Drew's book. He likes to learn. You idiots are only interested in what you're interested in, and that's how you get stupid, or how you stay
they're
stupid.
They're interested in their own ass, whatever they're into at that moment.
Right, but if they're into snowboard and tats, you're interested in talking, hearing about snowboards and tats, but you don't want to hear about anything else.
So I want to hear about a zert fitting.
And you get stupid. A zert fitting is that little fitting that's on like ball joints of cars and places. You know when they used to say, give you a oil change and lube job?
Yeah.
The lube that's what they'd snap that lithium grease gun up to underneath your car.
Oh, wow.
And grease up those ball joints and those. And there's a, they're pressurized. I mean, you got to snap it in there and like force it. Force the grease into it. Yeah. That's
and
how you get the grease into those tight spots.
Under the car. You'll
see if you looked at in a bunch of like a rack and pinion steering column or something, you'll see a little nipple sticking. That's how they get the grease in the compressor fittings.
Interesting.
Who says I'm not in touch, Drew? Bob?
Yes.
You're 15?
Yes.
What's up?
All right. My uncle, he's a gun collector. And he was messing around with one of his guns today, and it went off and hit his leg. It just, like, nicked it, but it's about, like, the width of a CD deep and about 2 inches long and maybe an inch wide. And I was wondering, because he won't go to the hospital. He's too stubborn. I was wondering.
Really?
Hold on. Let's go back and examine the width of the CD.
Yeah. Is that the...
Well,
thickness of a
well,
CD.
It's spherical, so they don't really have a front and a back.
Yeah,
or wide. What? But a CD case.
No, CD. The CD.
I see.
Yeah, they're probably what, 6 inches across, 4 inches, 5 inches across.
No, yeah. The thickness of it.
The thickness of it. So it's just barely. He's talking about a grazing flesh wound, I think.
But a flesh wound, the depth, is that what it said?
Of a CD.
A CD is less than an eighth of an inch.
Right, so it's just barely grazing.
But this doesn't jive with the story about wanting to go to the hospital.
Right, that's what I'm...
Bob?
Yeah?
If it just barely opened the skin, which is what you're describing, right?
Yeah, but you can see the meat in his leg.
That's what you think you're looking at.
Yeah.
Okay, so that to me wouldn't be less than an eighth of an inch deep. That would be maybe an inch deep.
No, it's not nearly an inch. It's
well, what about the thickness of an 8-track? That's about 3/4.
No, it's
no?
not. No, it's about the thickness of a CD, maybe.
All right, well, here's the deal.
Whatever.
like a double CD, like Houses of the Holy?
Maybe about... One and a half. It's not deep at all.
One and a half CDs.
Well, the depth is really what's important here.
And by the way, is CD a standard unit of measurement that we've missed somehow? Or you couldn't just say an eighth of an inch? All right. Bob, I'm still a little unclear. It's deep. It's into his skin. Not length or width, but it goes into him.
Mm-hmm.
The depth of a CD.
Yeah.
Okay, hang on, Bob. And turn your TV down, please. Look, I don't know. Now, you tell me. See, now, if we were doing a lab-type experiment, I would argue that people who have the TV on in the background are distracted and then unable to focus on the call. But then a smart person like yourself would come around and go, no, those people are too stupid to turn their goddamn TV down and have difficulty focusing anyway.
Right.
Bob over here makes a compelling argument for the latter.
Yes, absolutely. No, there's no doubt in my mind that's how that works.
Bob, he really paints a vivid picture. I mean, the world is his canvas when he opens his mouth. And what a palate he has. He shot himself, and
it's the depth of what you could do with your fingernail.
It's 330 seconds deep is what it is. Do I got to measure a CD? I'm telling you, it's under an eighth.
Yeah, I know. All right, here's the deal. Bob, clean it with peroxide. Keep it. If any redness or any streaking or any pus or anything else, then he's got to go to the hospital. As long as the bleeding is controlled. And by the way, if you have a digital camera, maybe we can get some email. Listen, I'd like, you know.
Bob does not have a piece of bark and a charcoal stick to write with. Do you think he has a digital camera? Well, he does have a CD. But no, Anderson makes a good point. He has a CD. I'm not so sure he has a CD. Do you know what I mean?
He's seen them. They thought they were for units of measurement.
Kelly?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was almost sleeping here.
Sorry, baby. I try to do a compelling show, but I probably lost you at dessert fitting.
Oh, no, I was listening. I'm just not a late. I get up.
All right, what's up? Go ahead.
Okay, I'm 16, and I have a problem. I've got, I'm a woman, so I've got a vagina, and
Hold on, scratch pad.
Well, got right, woman.
Vagina.
Okay, got it.
Right. I'm just going to write WC. Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right.
And I've been having this recurring rash, and it'll stay for about a month, and it'll go away for a couple, and then it'll come back.
See, if we had a digital camera, like, really?
Well, maybe, you'd be looking at underage vaginas, what you, we'd
exactly,
be doing if you had one.
You want to be ashamed of yourself!
Is it on the skin, or is it on the pink part?
It's, on the skin, and it goes all the way... it starts up at the top, you know, around the pubic hair, and then it just goes all the way down to right around the crack of my butt.
It's just a red rash.
Well, it's like bumps, almost like it looked like razor burn, but it itches real bad, and I don't shave down there, and I'm
so
a
it's
virgin.
Bumps and itchy. And could you be
a little extra for the picture if you're a virgin?
Could you be having an allergic reaction to something?
No, I don't know, because I wear cotton underwear, and...
Yeah, people get allergic to the elastic and the around the leg and stuff. Yeah. Fungus is another thing that can occur. You might just get some over-the-counter fungal cream and some Cortade and see if that clears.
How about a sitz bath?
Sitz baths are good, too.
Hmm?
Hot bath.
Okay. I usually take those once in a while, but...
That's good. But this does not sound like anything you should be concerned with. It's skin, like any other skin, and anything that can happen to skin can happen down there. Allergies, funguses... Many different expressions of internal problems, although you're not describing something that is typically associated with a medical condition.
I get in a bathtub about once every 2.5 years, and
you do not.
I do
once no, every. No, you have not been in a bathtub since you were like four.
I'd say about once every five years. I get in the bathtub, and I always announce, "Oh, this is great!" From now on,
every
once
night,
once a week, once a week, minimum. No,
you don't have a bathtub in your house, do you? Your house.
My house, I have two bathtubs.
Really?
Yeah. But let me tell you, when you're 6'2 and 190 pounds, is not a behemoth, but the 6'2 thing, that's a deal breaker for the tub.
It's got to be a mini jacuzzi.
Yeah. You're too big for a tub.
Yeah.
You can't enjoy that.
Right.
All right. You know, people complain about, you know, being midgets, but... sit next, you know, fly coach and sit next to these guys.
Yeah, you can fly
the lap
coach.
Of luxury.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, women are the ones that like baths. They have all that sort of, women have a thing about germs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they do.
Which makes sense. They're sort of there to protect the family from external predators like germs. And
right.
Christina Farrar, who did that daytime show with, used to light her bathtub on fire. Would put spray alcohol through it.
Breaking wind?
No, and would light it on fire to try to sterilize it.
Really?
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah, that's freaky. Yeah, speaking of germs, I was handling fish guts today. I'm going to tell you guys about that.
Oh, yeah, how's the refrigerator?
Oh, good times.
Yeah.
When we come back.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Got up at 4:15 this morning. Yeah. Went to bed at 1:30.
Nice.
Just, do that math there.
That was after staying up all night in Las Vegas.
That day or the day before. Yeah, can't be good for you. No. Yeah. Me and the fridge were doing blow out on the lake about 6 a.m. Went fishing with the fridge, the William Perry, the refrigerator from the Bears fame.
The 80s, 1980s.
Yeah, he was around. He played into the 90s.
Really?
Yeah, he probably played, he started in 85, I think. He probably played to 95. What's that? 5 years? Line five? Okay. What are we doing here, Drew? I
don't know. Radio.
Yeah, I got to stop paying attention to Damien over there. This guy's a big guy. I know you guys know that who saw him on TV. But I went in, I got into the fridge's weight. The fridge was 390 when he left high school.
Oh.
When he left high school.
Wow.
390. And played college about 390. And then when he got to the Bears, actually trimmed it down to a pixie size.
360?
No, it was, let's say, probably about 330.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
But those who just think the guy's a slob, dunks a basketball. Or, I mean, could dunk a basketball when he played. Like, those, you know, go just try to hang on a basket, but try to touch the rim. It takes a little work to get touch.
I can't touch the net.
Oh, you could, yeah. In your prime, you could touch the rim.
Maybe.
But dunking, that's something
no
different.
Way.
Yeah.
No way.
I know. This dude's a 350-pound guy dunking a ball. There's this great footage of him just jumping up on the trainer's table from just standing underneath it. You know, just standing in front of it, just hopping up on this 4-foot table. Yeah, the guy was an athlete. Huh. Anyone who remembers him getting out of his stance in the Super Bowl and bowling into the end zone when they crushed the Patriots back in 85. Yeah, real nice guy. Huge. Huge. His parts are so huge. Jason?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
You called us. What's up? Oh, Jason.
Oh, all right. Do I need to tell you guys a story all over again?
Okay, hang on, Jason. Turn your radio down, Jason, and gather yourself.
Yeah. I strangely don't want to talk to him.
No, I don't want to talk to him either. Yeah. But he can just hang on. Just Jason, just hang on for a while, that's all. Okay. Jose?
What's up?
Hey, you're 16. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, my girlfriend and I have been together for about 3 months, and it seems that, like, I tell my friends that I'm not getting anything out of it, but, like, I try to stay with her, but then again, it's like, part of me wants to just go, like, the hell with her. I mean, I don't want her.
Well, you're done. Listen, you don't sound like you really like this person.
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. It's okay to not want to be in a relationship with someone.
3 months, huh?
Yeah, but it's like, I want to be a nice guy. It's like, I want to show mercy. It's like...
Well, listen, the mercy is be honest. You have to.
That's too much.
I mean, I'm kind of doing her a favor because I put her in a very awkward position in the beginning with her. It's like, I wanted to be with one of her friends, and then I was kind of putting her in a position of, you know, helping me out when she wanted me for herself. So what I ended up doing is, you know, just giving her a shot.
You had sex with her, huh?
No, unfortunately.
Yes.
Actually, what do you mean? What am I saying? Fortunately, no.
You haven't had sex?
No, not with
her. All right. Then listen, then you're a nice guy, and there's no reason not to break up. It's easy.
Obviously, you've never met her. I mean, she's like 5'4", 170. I'm a pretty big guy myself. I'm 6'1½. I'm 211 pounds.
Well, if she's grotesquely overweight, that's different. You should stay together.
Oh, my God.
Jose, look. Yeah. We're telling you, you're not that into her.
You're not, and it's not, it's
so
dishonest
go ahead and
disrespectful. It's
not good for her.
Yeah, it's not good for her to you to string her along like this.
I would do that, but, like, come on, dude. I mean, let's face it. I mean, these girls these days, I mean, the payback's a real kick in the ass with these girls. I mean, they'll pay you back the worst ways you can possibly think of, and that's why I'm trying to avoid that.
Well, you know, take out a family member. What do you think?
Like, my friend, he told me, give me $5, and I'll throw all this crap in her face. And I'm like, dude, I mean, come on. Needless to say, I still have a heart, and I still want to, you know, break up with her. But then
again. Jose, listen.
Jose walks a fine line here in his life between being a sort of sympathetic character and then sliding into, like, Jackassville every once in a while. Look, you're not into her. You've not had sex with her. Break up with her.
Be kind. Don't be cruel to her in the breakup process, but give her the opportunity. I mean, if she knew that you wanted to get some payback, if she knew that you were feeling sorry for her and that's why you hung in, she would be incredibly insulted.
Yeah. You know, I was about to say that, then I thought to myself, nah, I'd take that.
Yeah, that's you. That's a guy.
I was about to say, how would you like it if some girl you were really into was just staying with you because she felt sorry for you? And then I thought, at 17, scratch that, 27, 37.
Whatever.
Whatever. All right.
Whatever it took, huh?
Well, especially if you're having sex.
Yeah, but yeah. That's what I said. That's the male brain speaking.
All right, look, should we give Jason another shot
here? All right,
go
ahead.
He's got a problem.
Yeah.
All right. Jason?
Hello?
Hello. What's your problem, buddy?
All right. I was at this party one time with my girlfriend.
Right.
One time?
Huh?
One time, you said?
Yeah.
When was this?
This was like 5 months ago.
All right.
And, like, we were messing around, you know? And, like, she got kind of drunk. And so we had sex, and she's 5 minutes, I mean, 5 months pregnant, and she doesn't know for sure. The other guy said she knew who it was or whatever, who the father was, but she doesn't know for sure that she doesn't know it's me, but I don't know to tell her or not, you know? Because she's, like, my really good friend, and I'm too young to take responsibility for this child.
You mean she doesn't remember having sex with you?
No. Because yeah, she doesn't because she was drunk.
No. Yeah. She doesn't remember having sex with you.
No.
So who does she think got her pregnant?
She doesn't know.
Mm-hmm. And she was that heated that she can't even put that together? Well, she can't do the math on the pregnancy?
She knows she had sex, but she doesn't remember with who.
Yeah, she knew that she was there with you at the party, though, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it make sense that she would conclude that perhaps it was you, or at least discuss it with you?
No, we're like really good friends. That wouldn't even happen between us.
I thought you said it was your girlfriend.
Well, now we are. That's why I don't want to tell her.
Well, why are you boyfriend or girlfriend now if you're best friends and you'd never have sex?
Well, because that was back then, though, and it's different now that we're...
Okay. Again, why wouldn't it occur to her... Yeah. Now that you are sexually active, now that you are boyfriend-girlfriend, that perhaps you could have harbored those feelings for her, you being the one that took her to the party, chaperoned, Emil said.
Chaperoned.
took her to the party. Why wouldn't she begin at least questioning you about that night and perhaps your involvement?
I don't know. She told me about it, but she doesn't like bringing the subject up a lot.
Why, she's not interested in looking for the father?
She is, but she doesn't really want, like, telling me, because since we're together now, she doesn't, I don't think she wants to tell me.
Okay. All right. Interesting predicament. So she's going to have the baby.
Yeah.
And she can just give it up for adoption.
But, see, she doesn't want to do that.
I know.
And she wants to keep it, and, I mean, I'll have it with her, but, and also our parents, though.
How do you know it's you?
I know for sure it was me.
How do you know?
I didn't use a condom.
Yeah, maybe somebody else didn't use a condom around that time. Maybe that's why she's not asking questions about that night. Maybe that's why she magically forgot about it.
No. I think, like, seriously, for sure, it's me. Because it was around the same time.
Hold on. Hold on. You say around the same time.
Yeah.
That's different. Drew, did you just get done saying?
Yeah.
Verbatim, yeah. Maybe somebody else had sex with her around the same time.
Yeah, since he wasn't the boyfriend. Maybe that's why she magically doesn't want to talk about it.
Well,
magically doesn't remember.
Look, I've been around a lot of drunken people in my life, almost exclusively. and once in a while, they get drunk and they black out and they're not sure what they did and so on and so forth. 95% of the time, it's a nice excuse for... it's a nice way to say I did something I'm not too proud of, and it's a good out. I was loaded.
No, alcoholics don't really black out, though.
They can do that. She went to the party with this guy. She got loaded with the guy.
No, she has sex.
And they went, and she knows she had sex that night. Yeah,
never thought it could be this
guy. Guy's her good friend. Guy's her boyfriend now.
Yeah. Guy is sexually attracted to her now.
Is not asking the guy... She's desperately trying to find out who this father is, not saying to the guy, hey, you didn't see me hook up with this guy. Who was I talking to? I wasn't gone for a long period of time. Look, she knows.
Either that or this whole thing's bogus.
All right. His question wasn't really...
A question. There wasn't a question. As usual, bogus calls.
But it wasn't formed well enough. He would have done better than that. Wouldn't he have?
I know. How did we get her on the phone? How did that happen?
How
do you know who she is? Get Damien on the horn here.
Damien.
I drilled the guy for like 20 minutes trying to find out different names, and that's names I came up with, and he gave me two different numbers for her.
All right, let's talk to her.
All right. So Jason is on line 5. Lisa's on line 7. Let's talk to Lisa for a second. Lisa? Did she just hang up?
Yeah, let's see if Jason's gone, too.
All right. Jason?
Hello?
Why did the person hang up whose number you gave us?
Do you guys want to call her back or something?
We just did that.
Oh, I didn't know.
Why do you think she hung up?
I don't know. She was on the line. Well, was she listening the whole time?
I have no idea.
Oh,
all right.
Can you guys try...
Yeah, well, let's have Damien work on this a little bit.
All right.
Work this out a little more.
If it is a bogus call, it's a kind of a weird way to go about it, a sort of confused and muddled one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Usually bogus calls, they make a big statement. I was banging my girlfriend's mom. Yeah. She was digging it.
Yeah. All right.
This is a little, it's an interesting way to go about it. Is there a confused way of going about it?
It could be real. It could be, but we need to clarify. There's something missing on the girl front, on the woman's front of this.
Brenda?
Yes, hi.
32, what's up?
Oh.
What?
Hold
on, we got that last call back?
Yeah.
All right, hold on, Brenda.
Okay.
Hang on, we got to figure this out. Seven. That was very exciting for you, Adam.
I'm really, I got up at 4:15 this morning, for Christ's sake. Lisa?
Yes?
You're 16?
Yes.
Are you pregnant?
Yes.
How many months?
5.
All right. And Jason is your boyfriend?
Yeah.
He's currently your boyfriend.
Pardon?
He's currently your boyfriend.
Currently.
And who got you pregnant?
I'm not quite sure. There was quite a few people there, so I don't know. There could be a possibility of one friend.
All right. And are you an alcoholic?
Only like when I get depressed, sometimes I drink.
Do you ever black out? You drink so much you can't remember what happened?
Yeah, I have a couple times.
Uh-huh. How do you know you got pregnant from that?
Pardon?
Who's yapping in the background?
That's my mom.
Okay. You tell her to shut her fat ass up, please.
Okay.
Zip
it, you nag!
Gone.
Good. Oh, boy, what a blowhard. What happens to women? As soon as they hit about 40, they get louder and they get obnoxious, and then they're not good-looking anymore, so you have, like, zero tolerance for them. It's like, you know, 20 years earlier, you'd be, oh, yes, oh, no, I agree. Now it's like, listen, you old hag.
Come on.
Beat it.
Wait, let's put Lisa on hold for a second, and we'll chat with her tomorrow, okay?
No. I'd like to get to the bottom of this now. Lisa.
Yes.
How do you know you got pregnant at that party?
Well, because that was my first time.
How do you know you had sex that night?
Because that was the only night that I could have. I've never done it before.
When was
You were a virgin.
Yeah.
And you're a virgin. After that party, you hadn't had sex with anyone?
No.
Okay, so you must have gotten pregnant at the party.
That's the only way I can talk.
Yet you have no recollection of it?
Not really. I kind of remember a little bit, but I can't, I don't know. I can't really picture the face of who it was.
And how did you get home from the party?
I don't remember.
You just woke up in your bed?
No, we were still at the party. We were there for a while.
Who's we?
Like 50 people.
Wait, I'm going to ask one more time. How did you get home from the party?
Oh, in the morning. My friend took me home.
Oh, so you slept over at the party?
Yeah.
I see. And why didn't you go home with the person you went to the party with?
He had already gone. I didn't see him.
Okay, that's Jason, right?
Yeah.
That's your boyfriend now, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And what are you going to do with this child?
I would like to raise it. My parents believe on, keeping it.
Right. Your big, loud mom?
Yeah.
Wants to traumatize the child herself?
No chance you could put this up for adoption?
I wouldn't want to. I think it's wrong.
It's wrong to give a child to parents who are prepared to raise a child, who have two parents?
I have an alternative. How about giving the kid a fighting chance? You take five wooden pallets, you lash them together with hemp rope, douse them in gasoline, throw the kid on that and let it go down the Mississippi when it's cresting the banks.
How about the Nile?
Well, that's kind of a Moses thing.
Yeah.
I say Mississippi. Okay. That'd be... All right. Look, let me talk. No, real fast. Lisa.
Huh?
Okay, the guy who got you pregnant is your buddy Jason. He called.
Oh, my God.
Really? Is this really news to you?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I still think this is bogus.
She was sitting listening to him while he told him.
Yeah. Sorry, Lisa, we don't really believe you.
Oh, my God.
I really don't believe her. Anderson, what do you think?
I believe her.
Anderson believes.
She was disconnected when he was saying.
Why aren't you relieved?
Oh, my God. Because that's... Oh, my God.
Most people would be relieved to find out that the person that they love is going to be with them to help them solve this mystery that they've been concerned with for these many months and wondering how they're going to do it by themselves.
Happy because that's my boyfriend now, but...
Oh, now you're happy?
He'd never do anything like that. Oh, my God.
What do you mean he'd never do anything like that?
I never knew he was like that.
Aren't you violated her when she was asleep.
Aren't you sexually active with him?
No, not at all.
You're not sexually active with him now?
Uh-uh.
What, do you think he raped you?
Oh, my... I don't know.
Oh, baby.
Oh, my God.
Well, look, are these tears of happiness, joy, or confusion?
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
All right. Well, hang on. I'll tell you what to do, all right?
Okay.
Hey, Lisa?
Uh-huh.
Okay, compose yourself, okay? I have a glass of water. Tell your mom to be quiet.
Okay.
And then we're going to get back. We'll clear this whole thing up. You'll feel much better when we're done with you, all right?
Okay.
All right, hang on there. I believe her. There's a
you know what?
Look, okay.
I don't. We have to behave as though it is. We can't assume otherwise.
And don't take this the wrong way, if anyone's listening. But see, the capacity for stupid people to not make sense is almost infinite. I just sat on a goddamn dinghy with the fridge for 9 hours. Believe me, I know when people don't make sense.
Uh-oh.
It makes sense in their mind.
Huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go on a bus and sit next to a really stupid guy for about 20 miles. He's going to say a lot of things that don't really fit together very well. I think that's kind of what we got going here.
Yeah, we certainly spent a lot of time trying to fit it together. It just didn't hold.
Enough pieces that make it.
Be that as it may, we got to aid Elisa, and we will.
All right, when we come back.
Loveline, we'll be right back. Call on the 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline, everybody. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew over there, Adam Carolla over here. And Lisa dropped off.
We need to talk to her. I really do need to talk to her. First of all, this thing we got stuck in the middle of.
Hold on. Her boyfriend Jason hung up. Now she hung up.
It's all very suspicious, but be as it may, we have to close this thing. If we open it up, we got to close it.
Well, hold on a second. Why do we got to close it if she hung up?
Because we got in the middle of it. Hey, be that as it may, it's very simple. The fact is, she should look upon this very positively.
Well,
really,
I don't know about
the guy that she really cares. I mean, this guy she really cares for. Yeah, the solution to her problem is here. No, not a rapist. They got loaded. They're teenagers. And he made a mistake.
Drew making an argument for date rape. Everybody.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying it was a good thing to do or the right thing to do. Maybe he didn't know that she was intoxicated. Certainly didn't know she was in a blackout. She wasn't unconscious. She was in a blackout.
Oh, Drew, keep going, buddy.
I'm not saying it's the right thing.
I'm a rapist.
I'm not saying it's the right thing. I'm not
big
saying it's
fan
a good
of
thing.
Rape. This Drew.
I'm not saying that it isn't rape. I'm not saying it is a good thing. I'm saying that this pregnancy that she was going to have to tolerate on her own, she now has somebody who cares about her very much that's going to participate with her.
Yeah, who's scared SLS to do it? Please give the kid up for adoption.
Well,
I don't believe in. Who cares what you believe in? It's not for you. It's for your kid. Don't give a rat's ass what you believe in.
All right.
Like, drive home and go 100, and then when a cop pulls you over, tell him you don't believe.
Go in speed limit.
Yeah. And then he'll go, look, I don't care, because you share the road with a whole bunch of other people who do believe in it, and you're going to kill him. Not me, though. William?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
I called a couple weeks ago. I was a kid who had a problem with the LSD.
You know, we get a lot of those. What's the problem you're having?
I stopped using it, and I've, like, 3 weeks now, I've just been having, like, these shakes ever since I got off. Like, I'll just have the need that I need to shake, but I don't want to. And I'll have to make myself, like, shake, like my hands or something weird. Like,
how much LSD did you do?
I did it, like, every other day.
For how long?
Like, 3 weeks, like, longer than that.
All right. Well, anything else happening?
Excuse me?
Anything else other than the shakes?
Like, I was get like the urge to go to the bathroom or something weird like that, but I don't have to. Or like, I'll just get like really bad headaches, feel like I'll need to take it again or something.
This has got to be the weirdest night of all time. I cannot follow our callers at all. It's like they're speaking some foreign tongue.
All right, let's just tell him what he should do.
Okay. He needs to see a neurologist. There may not be anything that can be done about this, but I have seen some very strange neurologic syndromes from LSD, including something called normal pressure hydrocephalus. I've seen movement disorders, and it is something that needs to be evaluated.
Okay.
Did you check this?
Yeah. Damien just called back the phone number we had on Lisa and Jason. Was that the other guy's name?
Yeah.
And said the person who answered the cell phone Lisa was on informed us that it was a hoax.
So, we were right.
Mark is 13 years old. Who's Mark?
The caller.
I thought that was Jason.
Yeah, his real name is Mark.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. Well, say Jason, would you? Goofball.
She was good, though.
No, I didn't buy it. Yeah, I just thought we had to do
something.
She
cried. And, yeah. Huh? No, they were good. But listen, you a-holes. It's not fair to bring up. I mean, look, if you want to do a bogus call, do a bogus call. But if you say that something's dangerous, it's like calling the fire department right. And putting in a false alarm.
That's right.
They have to come out.
That's right.
There's liabilities here.
That's right.
Okay, so you know, if you
that's
say I'm pregnant or I'm hooked on something or I'm getting abused, you have to treat it seriously.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Look, I'm out of here at 12, everybody. That's all I'm saying. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. I get paid the same.
Love Line.
1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Drewski over there. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, so that last big debacle call turned out to be bogus.
At which we kind of knew. I mean, it just didn't hang. It didn't fit.
We did bring it up 4 or 5 times, but yet we felt compelled and obligated to stay with it.
Right.
One of the reasons, by the way, I think you can always tell if something's bogus, when you can get the other person on the line pretty readily.
Yeah, and they hang and listen. And
I mean, how often do we say to someone, look, let us talk to your girlfriend, let us talk to your boyfriend,
we
can't get to him. Yeah, so the guy calls to make an admittance. He has to get it off his chest that he got this girl pregnant and then volunteers her phone number so that we can call her and basically spill the beans.
Yeah.
Who's going to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll see you kids in hell, by the way. Brenda?
Yes. Hi.
You're 32?
Yep.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I've been with this guy for 7 years and we have four kids together, two that I had before. And After I had the first one, our sex lives started going down.
Because why?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
Were you less interested in sex yourself?
No, I am pretty aggressive when it comes to sex.
So he was sort of backing off a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, because I am so aggressive, he started to get angry with me because I wanted it. At least every week, you know, and
what do you mean by aggressive?
Well, I'll be the one to start doing things romantically or
so. You mean you initiate things?
Yeah, I initiate.
That's hardly aggressive. That's
and at least once a week doesn't sound too frequent.
No, aggressive callers are the 4-time-a-dayers.
At this point in our lives, I'm lucky if I get it once every couple of months.
Yeah. So yeah,
what's up with him? So he's kind of checking out.
Yeah. Why is he doing this? I mean, okay. I
don't know.
The thing is
let's get him on the phone.
I know that. Well, he's sleeping. He's got to be up at 6 in the morning. Or no, he's got to be up at 5:30.
No.
Go to work.
Bad times.
Yeah. Well, the thing is I know he's. I know that the two of us are in love. I know he loves me. We've got plans on getting married when he gets his divorce.
Oh.
And, see, he hasn't seen her in 10 years.
Oh, boy.
And she's like a scary kind of person.
Does he work on metal?
Like a mob kind of person.
What does he do? Construction?
He's an air control specialist.
Air traffic control?
No.
No, heating and air. HVAC.
He helps clean the air.
Right, he changes the filters in the office building.
I see. He builds them. He builds, repairs, installs.
HVAC.
Yeah.
Heating and air guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tin knocker.
Okay.
Metal.
Right.
Yeah.
God bless you for putting that spin on it.
He builds
it's
them.
It's a hard thing to explain.
Picture a guy in a lab coat and a tie with a hard hat and a clipboard pointing out.
I'm just imagining metallurgy studies at MIT. Right. So,
hard hat, yeah. Safety glasses, jeans, T-shirt.
Right.
All right, listen. All right, Brenda.
Know him well.
Is he on any medication?
No.
You sure?
Yep.
Does he do drugs or alcohol?
Nope.
Does he have any...
Alcohol. Yes, he does drink.
How much?
He drinks like a 40 a night.
Right. That's not enough to take the wind out of a guy.
Does he take it in a 40 container, though?
The what?
Does he come home with a 40-ouncer?
He usually comes home from work with it, and it takes him all night to finish it.
40-ouncer.
Yeah.
I like that. But that's white trash, you understand?
Yeah, we live in a trailer park.
All right. All right. All right, this song. I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Okay. I like the way you sort of bring her into that. You realize what this means.
You do understand you're suffering from white trashism, right?
Oh, God, I know.
I know. Okay, well, I mean, look, I don't know why, you know, you can drink 40 ounces of beer, 12 ounces at a time, and you got no problems. But if you crack the lid on 40... You got something happening. I don't know why that is. I don't know why that makes you white trash.
Yeah, they're carrying the 40.
He could drink three and a half beers every night for the rest of his life. When he came home, we'd never say a word. But if he cracked 40 ounces, then there's something up.
The trailer park alone makes us white trash. That's just beyond the point.
Okay.
All right, but listen.
It's bad. It's always bad when you're telling the kids, don't play by the propane.
What was he like before he started shutting down like this? Was he a once a week guy?
Definitely. Oh, well, when I was pregnant, when I would follow him into the bath, from the bathroom to the bedroom, I would like watch for him to come out of the bathroom after taking a shower, and I'd follow him into the bedroom. I wouldn't say a word. I'd give him a blowjob, and then I'd leave. And we would do this kind of thing,
nice.
You know, throughout the day, every single day.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, nothing from him.
By the way, when you're living in a 800-square-foot trailer, you really have to follow the guy into the bathroom. You pretty much know when he's in the bathroom.
Lived in we lived up north then.
Oh, Traverse City?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a good area.
Yeah, that we had a nice place then.
Okay. What happens? It's been a fast free fall since Traverse City?
Oh, he changed jobs.
I understand. All right, yeah. So Brenda.
Yep.
I just want to make sure... Here's what guys do. They slide into a comfort zone. And they do it with everything. They do it with work. They don't, you know, they do it with their relationships first and foremost. And they start checking out. And sometimes it's up to a woman to check him back in.
Yeah, but... Oh.
And I worry about the guy a little bit. Yeah. But I think Brenda needs to communicate. Don't be aggressive. Forget about sex. Don't say sex. Just talk about you and your relationship.
The connection.
His distance, the connection. Yeah.
Time that you spend together, holding, physical, whatever.
Ooh. Yeah, don't even go there. Just say the relationship.
Remember how I used to do re-up those? Him. How I used to do those
BJs when you were leaving the bathroom, right? With the toilet that you flush with your foot. I'll tell you, every time I go into one of those trailers, and they have them all the time on TV shows and movie sets and stuff. And they got the little septic tank on them, and they got those toilets, and they're always real small and everything. But one thing they got right is that foot lever. And I step on that thing, and the toilet flushes, and I think, hey, what's wrong with this one making it into the mainstream?
Yeah. Well, now it's hands-free everywhere, right? That's good, too.
I know. I'm saying at my house.
Yeah.
What's wrong with the foot pedal?
Right.
Well, I got to bend over and turn the thing. I'd hit the thing with my foot. It's a good move.
Well, you're literally a millionaire. Why don't you take that up?
Doesn't exist in a residential application, as far as I know.
Huh.
Now, you know what I was saying to someone the other day, Drew?
What?
It's too bad guys can't, and I would include myself in this. I wish I would. Guys can't treat their relationships like their relationship with their team, their sports team. The Yankees, the Lakers, I mean, the Dodgers.
They can't get it up for it, even in a bad season.
No. What I'm saying is think how most guys approach a relationship. I was actually talking to Bill Maher about this during a commercial when we did when I did PI on Thursday,
right.
Which was, think about a guy's relationship. He's tired of his boss. He's tired of his work. He's tired of his house. He's tired of his kids. He's certainly tired of his relationship.
Yeah.
But what about his team?
He always gets it up for that.
The love grows deeper with each passing year.
Even in a bad year.
Right. And the first year, it's like, I kind of like this team. By year number five, he's deeply in love.
Yeah.
And by year 15, he can't stop talking about it. He's ordering cards off the eBay.
No chance of separation.
Stuff.
No chance. He can move away. Still with that team.
Right. Huge Mets fan. Yeah. Move to Oregon.
Forget it.
20 years. Still a big Mets. Still wearing the Mets cap.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if guys could channel just an ounce of this energy into the relationship? And I'm not saying that I do it. I'm as bad as anybody else.
Hey, the great thing is it shows that guys can do that. You wonder if they could. They can. There it is.
Yeah, I still. But those guys have the least relationships.
Those guys. This is the guy we're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see a point where guys are wearing around windbreakers with their wife's picture, name on the back, ordering her rookie card from high school. You know,
yeah.
I mean, really, could you imagine that kind of attachment, enthusiasm that a lot of guys have for their team, for their relationship, and why it can be so powerful in one facet of life and almost non-existent in the other? Growing, the feeling that they had for their wife or girlfriend was never stronger than in the first year, and by year number 15, they're almost checked out, almost done. Mm-hmm. You won't see that with the sports team.
That's right.
I like to infuse some of that energy.
Well, this guy, and again, this guy may respond to a little prompting by her. He may be depressed. There may be a medical problem. Maybe he's on some medication she doesn't know about. Maybe he's maybe he's smoking pot every day when he's at work. She doesn't know that. That would shut him down pretty good. And this is actually pretty serious stuff, though, in terms of where the relationship's going.
I'm not done with the sports thing.
All right, go ahead. Enjoy.
And what about pussies like yourself who don't like sports?
I like sports.
No. I mean, you don't have a team you follow.
I do. I follow with my kids.
You have that energy for your relationship, though.
No, that's true.
And I would say that not all, but most guys, the deeper they're into their team.
Maybe that's how they sublimate their sexual energy.
I think they do.
Yeah.
It's not sexual energy.
It's relationship energy. Yeah, but it's got that intensity of sex, right?
It does have, it has a passion.
Passion, yeah.
To it.
Passionate.
Passionate man like yourself.
Right.
No, but what I'm saying is I don't even, and I know we're on the same page now, but I don't even think it's sexual energy. I think it's a relationship energy that they're afraid to put into their actual partner, and they put it into their team. They live and die, the hopes, the dreams, the passion.
Mm-hmm.
The more passionate a guy is about his team, usually the less passionate he is about his relationship. And I would say vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
The guys are really into the relationships. They're not quite as into the team.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
Drew, who's the genius here?
Oh, I've always known.
Thank you. Troy?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes.
You sound like the guy from Silence of the Lambs who was killing the girl and skinning there.
God.
Right? That you?
Nah.
What's up there, Troy?
I'm kind of my girl. Well, now ex-girl, baby mother. She is
ex-girl friend, right?
Yes.
The mother of your baby.
Yes.
Right.
It's like I would have to explain that for you to get to understand what I'm about to say.
All right.
It's like, you know how, like, in your past, some things is, like, better left unsaid?
More history. No, less history, more mystery.
Right. And speaking of said, though, I can hear what's being said on the TV behind you. So can you turn that down, Troy?
Yeah.
Thank you.
See, Adam has ADD. Anything that distracts him is completely derails him from the focus of the moment.
Well, here's the beauty of me. What is a voice in the distance to everyone else is louder than Troy's voice in my head. All right, you got that, Troy?
Yes.
All right, so what's going on? Your ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
Who is the mother of your little girl.
Yes.
Go on.
She invited me to a party at that her family was giving.
Yeah.
And somebody recognized me at the party.
Somebody from your past.
yeah, who knew me from my past.
About things that were left unsaid that she didn't know about.
Yes, and but it wasn't like the past wasn't too much past. It was kind of recent.
Like during the relationship with your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was during the relationship.
Was it another woman?
Nah. Oh. It was more of, it was like, I used to live like a violent past, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Me and the company that I kept
right.
was like violent.
Okay.
And I tried to get out of that because my mother, she knew the life that I lived,
Right.
And I promised to her that I wouldn't do it anymore.
Huh.
So I stopped that, you know, but I still kept company with people who really don't, you know, really yeah. aren't legal.
They're bad people. But, Troy, just in the name of getting some clarity here,
yeah.
And because you're kind of you're speaking in circles, you're trying to protect yourself or somebody. What is the question?
What I want to know is, it's like okay, I'm in. It's the dilemma is this. I don't want to put her in danger, and I don't want to lose her. But I feel like if I keep her with me, I'm kind of putting her in danger. But I know that I love her, and I know I'm.
Does she know about your past now?
She kind of have. She
has an idea now.
She has an idea.
Does she know she would be endangered if she were with you?
Not exactly.
And what do you mean in danger? I mean, is somebody have it out for you, and she might get in the way?
I could tell you one example what happened.
All right.
We went out together. And it was somebody that knew me through one of my friends. And the guy, when he walked in, I saw him. We was in a bar.
Yeah.
And I saw him.
Right.
And so I saw him look in my face. And I knew he knew who I was. Because the look that he gave me.
Right.
So I grabbed her and told her it was time for us to go.
Right.
So as we leaving, he followed us out. And now we out on the sidewalk, and he came, and he was like, yo, I want to talk to you. So my first reaction was to get the best of him before he try me.
Right.
So I commenced to beating him up right there.
Oh,
maybe,
boy.
Maybe he just, like, left your keys on the table or something and wanted to return those to you. No.
I knew definitely.
You knew the guy.
He knew who
okay.
I was.
All right, Troy, but let me just because we got to move on here, let me just sum this up. You have a child with this woman.
Yeah.
You have to stick in for the child, and you love this woman.
Why don't you?
See, stay in with her.
Why don't you take her and move somewhere else? I mean, start
but,
over.
Yeah, what, I mean, look.
She can't understand it.
She doesn't need to. You want to take her somewhere. You want to start a life with her. Start it somewhere else.
She doesn't need to know every gory detail of your past.
She knows you beat the crap out of some guy on the sidewalk. And we just looked at you sideways. She knows something's up. And if she doesn't, it serves her right not to know more. You know what I mean? She doesn't want to know more in that case.
Just tell her there's people around this neighborhood that ain't real keen on me. Why don't we just start a life?
Yeah.
Or you could probably just stay in. I mean, don't go to a bar with her. She's pregnant, right?
Yeah, it sounds like you ought to get
You're in love. Hang out. Or move away.
Move somewhere. Start again.
Okay. When you say start again, you mean start beating up guys? Yeah.
Start again without that.
Okay, everybody.
Oh. What a night.
What's that guy? Chinese, you think?
Yeah, I think so. Vietnamese.
Vietnamese.
Go ahead, Jeff.
You think Vietnamese?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeff? Jeff. Hey.
Jeff, you're 16. What's up?
Yeah, I'm having this trouble with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
We've been going out for like 6 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided, like most girls, she want that now we've been going out for a really long time, she wants to be completely honest. So, like, into the relationship, like, we weren't very serious until, like, the fourth or fifth month.
Mm-hmm.
You were screwing her.
Like, when I broke up with my last girlfriend, and we like, up and then I got with this girl, you're like still like making out and like hanging out and like fooling around and stuff like that.
Your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. Up until like the whole first month of me dating this other girl.
Right. And right. Now she knows that and freaked out, right?
Yeah. And she like in here in month six, and I was like, so she was like, I want to be completely honest. So we started out with small little things that really didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I was like, hey, I was making out with this girl when we first going out, and she freaked out on me.
Yeah. Well.
Right. So, now what?
So I'm really into this girl though. See, I don't want to break up with her.
Good, stay in, and she will.
She's like the first girl that I ever went out with that I didn't want to have sex with. Or
well, she will either get over this or she won't. If she doesn't, she's looking for a reason to sabotage this relationship. It's really
yeah. This isn't egregious, right?
No. All right. No, they were still not even dating. He was still with the old girlfriend. It was but it's one of those transition times.
Understand this, everybody. It's almost unfair when people do this, especially when you're a younger couple, any age couple. When somebody breaks up with somebody else, it's because either they really weren't that into them, which is about 95% of it, or the 5%, which is they actually did something so egregious that the person cannot get past it. That would be killing one of their family members, not their own, by the way, one of the couple's, one of her family members, possibly having sex one or more times with one or more siblings, and that kind of thing, felonies. Even those things we've learned from this show can be overlooked. When you're in, heroin, murder, rape, and arson can all. They give you a long leash for that stuff. Now, conversely, if they're really not that into you or sort of on the fence, and you do a little something, they'll just go, "Well, that's the reason we broke up," and then you start fighting it. You focus on that one thing. Look, we're barely going out. We're dating. I'm sorry. You want me to get a note from the chick I was banging? She says she's sorry, too. You start focusing on that, and they go, no, can't be made up for. But really what they're saying is, no, I never was really that into you. It became too intimate and too scary for me, and I was looking for an excuse to break up. But whatever it is, this is an excuse.
Right. Exactly.
Same, by the way. Look, and I'll same with everything in life. You ever get canned from a job?
Right.
That's not some city job with a bunch of red tape or something, but you're just working. You do the work of 10 employees. You're the greatest guy ever. All of a sudden, you have a few too many boozes at the Christmas party and say something to the boss. He don't fire you. No way. Now, if he's looking for an excuse and you have a few boozes at the Christmas party and get out of line, you're gone. You'll focus on that one thing. But look back at all the days you showed up late, all the days you were hungover, and the crappy, sloppy work that you did while you were employed there.
Right, exactly.
Believe me, you do good work, people love you, it's real hard to get rid of you. Okay, we'll be back.
Hello, who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Hi, everybody. This is Art from Everclear, and you're listening to Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Where are those guys?
Where's Everclear? Saw Art yesterday.
Oh, God. Where?
Was at the Mandalay Bay in Vegas. I was at a diner at about 5:30 in the morning, and in walked Art.
How weird is that that I ask about it?
Well, you asking about it's not that weird, although it's minorly weird. Playing the Everclear drop, Art from Everclear drop, is a little weird because I really don't think we've heard that one in a year, have we? I mean,
yeah. 2 months.
No, more than that. And then me going, hey, I haven't seen those guys in a long time. I wonder where they are, how they're doing.
Anderson says, you know what I love about Anderson, by the way?
Yeah, he's like one of our...
chimed in with 2 months.
He's like one of our callers, whatever it is. No.
No. You know what, Anderson's like this. It all harkens back to the time when who called into this show?
Eminem,
right? If you want to know this show in a nutshell, Eminem called into this show about a year ago, and I was saying, and this was probably 6 months ago when he was at the Eminem height. And I said, yeah, you know, Eminem, I think, called into this show once. Now, any other radio show, whether they remembered it or not, just, yeah, it's good business to say, oh, yeah, Eminem calls the show. Not me. I got Anderson over there. No, he did not. He did not call the show. And you know me, my brain's mush.
Yeah.
And I don't know anyone from anyone.
Going, yeah, okay, well, maybe.
And I'm saying, I think he did. That's my recollection. Oh, no. 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 Why?
Well, you should be used to that.
That'd be too easy.
It's like our callers.
Yes. Yep. And I'm telling you, you didn't play, and I don't know where Ann was on that one. I don't know if you were in that night or not, but it's probably best that you weren't. It really got ugly. But I swear that Everclear drop, it's not like I heard that in the past 2 months.
Who picks the drops? Who plays them?
Anderson picks the drops. Oh. Anderson plays them. And granted, sometimes we're taking a leak.
He also sets up the phone lines, too, when you're talking to people that call from the outside. Like,
Eminem. Interesting. Very very good point. The point is what was strange and weird is now no big deal. that's
ruined,
the point.
Ruined our story.
Whatever. Let's move on. That's right. Eminem never called the show, and he's been playing the Art Alexakis drop from Everclear all week long. So let's move along.
Hi, everybody. This is Art from Everclear, and you're listening to Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Steve?
Yeah.
You're 23.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. You guys are gods.
Thank you.
You really are, both of you.
Thank you.
What's up?
Well, my wife's best friend... We've been married for almost 2 years now. When we first got married, he was kind of after her, you know what I mean? Kind of jealous because he lost out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he claims gay because it gets him attention, quite simply.
Same with Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, after we first got married, I'm like, hey, you know, it's not appropriate because he makes these little innuendos. And
how do you know the guy?
Through my wife.
He blew him through college.
Yeah. You're gay.
Yeah, a couple of times. No, just kidding.
Steve, you got anything going in that department yourself?
No. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Perfectly straight.
Perfectly.
That physically sickens me. But anyway,
hold on a second. We got to talk about physically sickens.
Oh, interesting.
I'm smelling, I'm thinking thou protest a little too much.
Well, you've always talked about how you react physically to walking into the gay porn section. Of course, that's when you're actually exposed to it.
Good
it's a little
point.
Different than just thinking about it.
All right. Touche. Steve?
Yeah.
You a religious guy?
No.
No. Okay. No,
definitely not.
All right. So this guy is, he claims to be gay, you claim, but why would someone claim to be gay who wasn't gay?
Well, I mean, he's gay, but he does it more for attention. You know what I mean?
No, we don't know what you mean. I've never met that.
He goes wherever the booty is.
Whether it's male or female.
Yeah.
So he's bisexual.
Yeah.
He's every sexual.
He's...
It's Andy Dick. He's Andy Dick. He's after your wife.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So this guy's got his...
So he's all over the place.
Sights set on your wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't like him, and your wife does like him.
Yeah, I mean, he's her best friend, and I understand
her
that.
Best friend. He's a sexual compulsive. That's her best friend.
Yeah.
Why is this her best friend?
He got me.
Yeah. What's up with your wife?
I have no idea.
Well, I mean, here's the question we're asking, Steve, and I'll ask it to everybody out there, because we get into this all the time. It's like, you know, the guy's a felon, the guy's an alcoholic, the guy's abusive,
I love him.
Right. Now, let's stop talking about him, let's start talking about you.
Right.
In this case, your wife. This guy sounds like a little bit of a piece of work. What's up with your wife that she would, you know, bring him into the inner circle and be his best friend this way? What kind of issues does she have?
Nothing. I mean, well, her brother was killed at a young age.
By whom?
He blew up, I guess.
He blew up?
Yeah, he...
Oh, I see.
Oh, you mean spontaneous combustion? Okay.
No.
No, he made fireworks and he just screwed up one day and blew up the whole house and he was in it.
Wow. And what do you, Steve, you have an interesting energy yourself. You should hope you're gay because now you've gone to a serial killer, my book. There's two categories for you to fall into. It's like that Pacino ball that falls down, the pachinko ball falls down thing. One said gay, the other said serial killer, and it the gay just got blocked up. Now there's nothing left. What's up? You got some energy. What's going on with you?
Well, my brother's massively, massively bipolar schizoaffective, but I've been through the whole therapy thing, and and I'm perfectly healthy, perfect well.
All right. What do you do for a living? Some white-collar type work?
Look for the areas. Fill that space.
You're what?
I'm a rent-a-cop.
Oh, really?
Supervisor at a security company.
I see. Okay. And you have no problem with the gays, or you do have a problem with the gays?
You know, some of my best friends are gay.
Okay.
I have no problem with it. The rule kind of is, you know, they do their thing, I do mine. I don't talk about it. They don't. But this guy, he's just...
Why do we...
getting worse. And
okay,
he's
all right.
Master manipulator, and that's what bothers me.
Okay, well, now can't you just tell your wife? Look, the guy, I'm
guy's
your husband.
Guy's a problem.
The guy really creeps me out.
I'm afraid he's going to do something to you.
Scale it back a little bit.
It's
with
not
the guy.
That he's gay; it's that he's got no boundaries, and that isn't a healthy thing to be around.
I tried that, and I mean, I sat there and I wrote it in a letter because I figured that would be the most non-offensive approach.
To your wife?
Yeah, I wrote it in a letter to my wife.
Mm-hmm. You don't have stationery with little pictures of cactus in your name on it? No.
No, I don't.
It doesn't smell like patchouli or anything?
No, just like napkin or something. But
okay.
And all of a sudden, I'm this horrible, evil guy, and I'm trying to prevent her from hanging out with her best friend. And
yeah.
And see, the thing is this guy's the master manipulator. He could have you sold into the sky is purple.
Does your wife have a psychiatric history?
Yeah, she's been through therapy after her brother was
blown up,
killed.
Yeah, but no. Yeah, I know you want to blame it all on the brother.
I know.
She in a psychiatric hospital at one time?
Yeah, she was. She had a nervous breakdown.
All right. That's not
her brother.
That's not the brother.
Yeah,
okay.
That's not the brother.
I understand. You got a project on your hands here.
I know.
Yeah, the wife.
She needs work.
Does she have a borderline personality disorder?
You know, I have to say yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because
shocking
all this stuff.
That's all from the explosion, or
No, look,
Steve, listen, we got to go. But listen, you have to be more honest with yourself. Your wife has some serious issues, okay?
Yeah.
And you got a little energy yourself. And this guy has become the modern day version of the brother who blew the house up. All the energy from the past goes into the brother who blew the house up, and all the energy of today goes into the gay/bi friend who hangs out.
These are just minor symptoms of a much bigger story.
Right. This is what you focus on. The past was the brother. Now is Bruce, who's the universal name for the bi guy. And this is not where you should focus. Yeah. You guys need to focus on the relationship, maybe a little counseling. Yeah. You need to focus on your ass, and she really needs to focus on her ass.
This is time for the professional work.
Not this guy.
No.
Okay.
Although this guy, for a borderline, to have a guy like that around, is looking for chaos.
Right. Let me say something about...
He may combust.
Yeah. Speaking of combust and fireworks, you know, the 4th is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something about the utopia that is almost every state, but this goddamn Nazi-run California here. I was talking to The Fridge, me and The Fridge, you know, of Chicago Bears fame, were fishing today for a man show bit, and I was asking him what he was doing for the 4th. And let me tell you something about Fridge, 400 pounds and does not disappoint. The Fridge already has ordered 137-pound pigs, putting it in the ground.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's from South Carolina.
Where does he live?
South Carolina.
Oh, he came out for the man show?
We flew his ass out. Took two planes.
Two seats?
Two planes. No, two planes.
Oh.
He actually...
Him, then his ass.
We flew his torso.
Him and his ass, you said.
That's right. Two planes we had to fly the Fridge out on. I said, Fridge, what are you doing? Now, Fridge is really... I mean, like I said, he doesn't disappoint. He is what you would expect. He's already ordered the pig. He's going to go pick the pig up. And a pig takes about 12 hours to cook. It's an hour every 10 pounds or something like that. 13 hours to cook. Putting that pig... The Fridge likes to fish and he likes to barbecue. So he's getting the pig and about 30 chickens, and that's what he's doing. So I say, so what do you do? So he's got the fire pit in the backyard, puts the pig in there, starts drinking beer, and then in the evening starts lighting off the fireworks. Now me, being from California, Nazi California, I say... you get to light fireworks off? Yeah, why not? I said, what about the cops? What do they care? You get to go on your own property and light fireworks? Sure. They don't take your house or arrest you or anything? No, why should they? I said, wow, you're right. You're right. This is the way it should be.
Last year, I lit up one little cone off in our backyard huge concrete area.
Yeah.
Neighbor.
Of course.
Fence,
of course.
Screaming bloody
freaks.
Murder.
Pansies. Go back in your house. Go lock yourself up in your closet, you pansies.
You pansy.
Jesus Christ. I know. And so he says, yeah, we just go get fireworks and light them off.
Gonna call the fire marshal. The fire marshal's going to come.
He said, look, you can light them off right in front of the police station. It's legal. They don't care. So why not? Well, they got bigger fish to fry. But yeah, isn't that great? Wouldn't it be great? You could actually light fireworks off your front yard. And Jimmy said, well, what about the climate? It's probably wet, whatever. He said, no, it gets real dry during the summer like this. He was looking around. So we got these hills with the brush on and stuff. I said, good. You put the pig in the ground. You light the fireworks off. I know I would immediately be carted off to jail if I did that and lose my house out here. And I thought, that is wonderful. I'm telling you, every state but California with the authorities. When I was in New Orleans, guy blew right by a cop car, the cop was doing 5 miles an hour past the speed limit. We blew right past him. I was freaking out. Oh God, hey, you passed a cop. Look, he's going to get us in trouble. The guy looked at me. He's like, hey, calm down. I said, you just drove past a cop. You passed a cop car. I was yelling at the guy. Because around here, if the cop is doing 18 miles an hour in the 35, you can't pass him.
Right.
And he looked at me and he went, yeah, what's he care with me? He's got bigger fish to fry. And I thought, yes. Yes, the bigger fish to fry theory. So nice.
More important things to do.
Yeah. What do they care? I pay my taxes. I'm not doing anything wrong.
They actually spend their time looking after the criminals.
Yeah, right, right. And one last thing to say about the fireworks. I was watching the local news and saw the kid who blew his a couple fingers off last year. Each year, it's my theory, they hire a poor Latino kid to blow off a finger so they can use him in next year's campaign. I really think that happens. It's like, holy Christ, we made it through the fourth and no one lost a finger. What the hell are we going to do for next year's campaign? How about Javier from 94? No, we used him already.
He's too old.
Yeah.
Not the same sympathy.
Look, somebody's going to have to offer up the kid. We'll blow his finger off. Don't worry. We'll have a physician nearby. It'll be fine. He'll make more off the campaign and the notoriety than he would do with that finger. What hand? What are you, right-handed? Oh, we'll do your left hand. No big deal. Say you can't hold a pencil anymore. So they put this kid up on the thing, and he's got half the fingers thing. And the kid's 11, 12 years old. What's the story? Well, he lit the M80 off. First off, he found an M80, thought it was a fake M80. All right, I'll buy that so far. Then he lights the M80, lights the fuse.
Now he's
holding it, and now he thinks, I got to get this fuse out. So he tries to, pull the fuse out or whatever. He can't seem to extinguish the thing with his fingers. So he runs into the house to put the thing under the sink and blows his hand off, or at least a couple fingers. Now I'm thinking, I feel sorry for the guy, but something bad was bound to happen to this cat anyway. I mean, really, isn't that just Darwinism? What about guys hang themselves with belts and shoelaces in prison? Does that mean we can't use them now, or are they now dangerous? Because one guy who doesn't have two brain cells to rub together has injured himself? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's my overall message tonight. This guy goes into the house with an M80 to try to put it under the sink, blows his hand off, and now I can't do it. That's what I'm saying.
You can't let a sparkler or a Piccolo Pete.
Right, right. But like I said, what about guys who hang themselves with shoelaces? Do we have to wear loafers now, or can we just figure out how to work a shoelace without hanging ourselves? Let's think about that.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready.
Hey.
How was that?
I wasn't sure if we were on the air. Anderson tries to fool me, like quick finger point every once in a while. Loveline.
Blah, 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 blah.
I'm really coasting to a stop here.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Nothing worse than sleep deprivation.
Yeah, we do a lot of that, though, you know, both of us.
Yeah. And, you know, 5 hours, that's light for me. But
hey, I'll give you some drugs. People yeah. somehow think that you're, just because of the way you talk on the radio, you're some sort of F-up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've never been late to anything. You never listened early to anything. And there have been stuff we've been at like 4:30 in the morning, 5 in the morning. Man, you are up and there.
Really?
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, Jimmy complains constantly that I make him late. He's high. He's high, right?
No, you know what you do? You push the limits
right.
of stuff, but you never are late.
Right.
Never. Yeah.
Yeah. Why show up early?
Does he have to be early to everything?
Yeah, he's always going to get pussy that way, you know? Yeah. We're going to Pasadena to do the upfronts. The car says supposed to pick us up at 10. The thing's at noon. I'm like, yeah, look, show up at 11:30. Oh, no.
That's Daniel.
No, that's Jimmy.
Really?
Yeah. If he's listening, he'll call in. Right? Mm-hmm. They'll tell me I make him late for everything.
All right, call in. Let's put him on line 7.
Oh, look, he's not listening. He got up at 4:15, too. Oh.
Dr. Drew's a born sound physician.
That's right.
Amy?
Hi.
Hey, you're 24.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to move through some calls here because I've been talking too much. You're a speed addict?
You were a speed addict.
At 16.
At 16, I'm 24 now.
Sober for 8 years.
Yes.
Wants to know the effects.
What are you experiencing?
It's kind of hard to explain. I have severe panic attacks occasionally.
Right.
And even when I'm not having panic attacks, it's kind of always there in the background somewhere.
Right.
And at the end of the day, I'm usually exhausted because I'm kind of trying to contain myself.
Any mood problems? You depressed?
Currently I am. I get depressed periodically because... I'm just so exhausted.
Any memory problems?
No.
Okay. Are you actually in recovery? You have a sponsor? You work in a program?
No. I had an episode when I was 16, almost 17. I overdosed, and I freaked out completely. It lasted for about a week.
Jeez, you're really into that.
My mom put me, she started me seeing a psychiatrist. I saw her for about a year. I really didn't have much change, but no, I never went through any recovery. I haven't done any drugs since.
Are you on medication right now?
No.
Okay. You take any addict and you take the drug away and you don't replace it with something, some sort of process, something to help that brain manage their affect differently, you get a depressed, anxious, panic-attacked person,
right.
almost without exception.
Right.
So just being an addict, not in recovery, could be the entire reason you're experiencing what you're experiencing. Now, doing a lot of speed absolutely can predispose you to depression, absolutely can cause panic attacks, but usually my experience causes some memory problems if you're getting into that kind of biological injury.
All right,
maybe.
So what to do?
Get in a program or get a therapist and start seeing very, very regularly. You need some sort of ongoing change, some growth before this is going to settle down. And you may need a biological evaluation because these things do need medication commonly.
All right, Nikki, 16.
Hello.
Nikki.
Hello.
Nikki.
Hello.
All right. Christy.
Hi.
Yeah, you're 16.
Yeah.
What's up?
My question is, okay, I've been seeing my boyfriend for about 3 months now, and I've known him for about 2 years, and I just recently found out that he has an STD, and I thought it was kind of awkward, like, when we first started going out, that he'd have sex with me with his boxers and a condom on, but I didn't really, like, ask questions.
How did he do that?
He pulled his junk out of the boxer hole, right?
Yeah, basically. Sweet.
Yeah, what does having an STD have to do with wearing boxers?
He didn't want her to see parts.
He didn't want me to, like, be able to see, I guess, or, like, he didn't want to, like, expose me to it.
Yeah, but he would pull his junk out and then put the condom on?
Yeah.
Why did you see something when he pulled his junk out?
Well, because we always did it with, like, the lights off.
All right.
So what, boxers? I don't get that.
I don't know.
Well, maybe he had something going on his...
Yeah,
but the lights are off. The Johnson comes out.
I don't know. Who knows?
Okay, and then anyway, so I ended up having sex with him without like any protection, just like the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out he has genital warts.
How'd you find that out?
Took his boxers off.
We're both in, like, a 12-step program.
Yeah.
And, like, he had to do a 4-step, and, like, that's where you make amends and stuff.
How did you know about that? Well, not amends. It's talking about things you're ashamed of, so he's ashamed of this.
So
yeah,
warts.
And I, well, because, like, he lives, like, he comes over a lot and stuff, and he ended up leaving, like, some of the stuff here, and I
some of the 4-step, written 4-step
yeah,
work?
Yeah, and I read it.
Oh.
And
what
I
a mess.
Out. Oh, you mean you...
It's like reading his diary.
He didn't tell you. You snooped.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Now, yeah, you deserve the warts.
No, I don't. Like, I don't know. Man. Am I going to get it now from just having...
Well, you should assume so. Yeah.
No.
But he's...
You got to get yourself checked.
You got to get checked. Yeah, there's a very, very high likelihood.
No.
If he still has it, which remains to be seen.
Well, he...
I mean, is it curable or no?
No. Well, about... Certain percentage of these will get better by themselves after about 5 years or so, sort of go away. And those are the ones that aren't as problematic. The ones that stay with you and may stay with you forever are the ones that seem to increase the risk of cervical cancer. Whatever it is, you need to get at least annual, probably biannual pap smears.
Hey, here's the deal. You probably don't have it.
How do you figure that? He said, I feel guilty. I've given her the warts.
Did he say given or that he had
he
sex
He has
with-
warts and he had sex without a condom.
He didn't say given her the warts. Okay.
Why would he feel ashamed of him? Worried
He's
about
ashamed
it.
Of his warts.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I'm saying. Go get checked out.
Yeah.
Don't freak out.
That's right.
Check out.
So says Adam.
And
McGruff.
Coke, toke, or poke. Nobody rides for free. Those are my two bumper stickers. All right?
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Hello. This is your radio. Radio. Loveline will be right back.
Oh my god!
I'll tell you what, Drew. It takes all kinds, doesn't it? It takes all.
I'm
kinds.
Afraid so.
I would like to hear. Here's the three things I'd like to make a comeback, and you kids can help me do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot
Souffle
of you don't
humor.
Know what stuff means. No, I've
no.
dropped that.
Ah.
I'd like you to say, shake your head and say, it takes all kinds.
Oh yeah.
You see a guy take a spill on a skateboard or some guy going by him with an aggressive piercing or a mohawk. It takes all kinds. That's what you say. It's something that used to be around. It's gone.
To the tune of?
When someone is going fast, I like you to refer to him as booking.
Well,
that guy's booking.
Oh, yeah.
He's booking.
Yeah.
He is booking.
They'll never
You can be substitute with booging, but I like booking.
Yeah.
Booking. Oh, he's booking.
I booked.
Cops chasing the dude. The dude was booking down the street, turned the corner. Cops were booking, too.
Well, that's how you got here. Now you booked, Kenny.
I was booking. And to the tune of.
Yeah, to the tune of. You were booking to the tune of 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's better with a monetary thing.
Oh,
with the money thing. How much you, the IRS owes your rebate? What? To the tune of $3,500. Okay. Booking to the tune of, and it takes all kinds. Work that in over the 4th of July. Everybody, please. And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. You do understand you're suffering from white trashism, right?
Oh, God, I know.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.